All right, gentlemen, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir. We're on Daf Tesvav in Shar HaGaiva, and we are continuing with this the effects, the ripple effects of Gaiva, of haughtiness. On the top of the page, Yod, and furthermore, HaGaiva Mevi'a Lidei Taiva. Gaiva, haughtiness, leads a person to Taiva, which is desire, lust, passion, Ki HaMezgoyeh. Because simply a person who becomes haughty, libo rochav, his heart widens, umisav lechol davar, and he develops a desire, lechol davar, for everything. And he's going to describe to us some of the taivas that are developed, v'hataivahi amida harosh b'chol hamidos, and he says desires, taiva lust is of the worst midos, of all the midos. Ki yisave machmas gavoso, because that taiva, which is a result of the gaiva, yilubosh begodim yikarim, to wear clothing that are expensive, v'livnos palterim gedolim, and to build big houses, big mansions, v'lechol macholim tovim, and to eat fancy foods, delicacies. Because a person who is a Baal Gaiva, who is haughty, will forever aspire to have desires for more things, for greater things, for more. And as his quest for fulfilling more of his desires grows, at times it may be that he will not be able to afford this elaborate lifestyle. That's right. It's what we call these days high maintenance. It becomes high maintenance. And that will unfortunately lead him to thievery. In other words, he has gaiva. And the gaiva leads him to taiva. And the taiva leads him to desire everything that he can get his hands on. And, when you have one piece of steak, today you need two pieces of steak next week, and of course it keeps on growing, and the bigger the house, the bigger you want the house to be, and you can go from one model car to another model car, but it keeps on growing, and he'll reach a point where his bank statement is not going to match his desires. The Pele Yoetz, interesting, says that even if a person is wealthy, he should be careful not to spoil their child, their children, not to spend too much on their children. He gives a reason why. He says, what do you mean? The guy's got money, he's wealthy. So buy him all the Fisher-Price toys. He wants all the Lego, all the chveis. When he's 16 years old, make sure to buy him the Corvette. He says, don't do it, because when the child grows up, it could very well be that he won't have the same a portfolio as the father does. Now, one or two things is going to happen. Either he's not going to be able to upkeep the lifestyle that he developed, that he got used to as he was growing up, so he'll become depressed, or he won't get depressed because he won't allow himself to get depressed. He can't afford to buy it. He'll steal, he'll cheat to be able to have it. Because once you get used to a certain lifestyle, then you have to, generally speaking, you have to maintain it. So therefore, the Pele Yoetz says, even if you could afford it, be careful. Just sort of like put a ceiling on what your expenditures are going to be for those who you are responsible for, your children in this case. Okay, let's continue. Ki amisgoya libo chomed urechav kis lis asher, because a person who is a Baal Gaiva, his heart desires and his pocket becomes wide to become wealthy. Lo yeh samech b'chelko. And of course, he'll never be in a place where he is satiated, happy with his portion. Ki yima because in comparison to what his desires are, that which he already has is nothing in comparison. In other words, for example, if a person has a desire because of the gaiva, has a desire for a ten room house, and he buys the 10-room house. But of course, as we just said, the desires keep the desires coming. So in his mind, he's thinking a 20-room house. A 20-room house, what do you mean you have a 10-room house? 10-room house? Give me a break. What's a 10-room house? 10-room house is nothing. So as the desires keep building, and he keeps on spending on and cashing out on those desires, then in comparison to the desire, what he already has is, I don't know, I can't mention the name, of course, but years ago, we used to have somebody living here in this neighborhood. The person himself told me this, that he used to live here in North Miami Beach, and then he went to spend Shabbos in Hollywood, and when he saw the living quarters in Hollywood, the lawns or the houses in Hollywood, he said, I can live in North Miami Beach. Jesus are covered beneath my dignity. So he moved to Hollywood. After he went to Hollywood and living there for a few years, he spent the Shabbos in Boca Raton. And in Boca Raton, whoa, I don't know if you've ever been to Boca Raton. Boca Raton, wow, those are what you call houses. And that's what you call a driveway, 3-car driveway, not a 2-car driveway. So he decided to move to Boca Raton. And after a few years in Boca Raton, he made the mistake of spending a Shabbos in West Palm Beach. And after spending a West Palm Beach, what are you talking? I'm living in the slums. I'm living in Boca Raton. How could it be? So you see, in real life, this, what the Orchel Sadikim wrote 500 years ago approximately, is incredible how once our desires, are met, and we keep on, spending, then we are completely unsatisfied with, hey, what's wrong with living in North Miami after all said and done? Now, what's wrong with living in North Miami Beach? It's fine. We could compare it to someone who lives in a 2-room house somewhere in Yerushalayim or a Chais and somewhere else in the world. So compared to that, we're living in mansions here. So, the Chazal tell us that the attitude of a person has to be is when it comes to Ruchnius, we're always supposed to look at someone who has more than us. When it comes to Gashmius, always look at someone who has less than you. So, then that way we're able to maintain, equilibrium. Let's continue the paragraph. Yod, and furthermore, Hagaiva Garemes, Gaiva Horinis causes, Shalo Yehe Savlon, the person will not be patient, Lisbol Ol Habrios, to bear, to be patient and to bear the burden of others. Listen to the way he ends the paragraph. There's no need to elaborate on the defects of a person who is not patient. Why? It is very well known to all. Now, patience is an extremely important, basic mita, of course. I mean, certainly somebody who is in a position of authority, whether he's the boss of the company, the CEO, or it's the parent at home. So patience is necessary in order to deal with and relate with those who we are in charge of, so to speak. So needless to say that patience is a virtue, is a mita, which is extremely important. But, we see how important it is, even way back through a Rashi in the Torah. In Parshas Vayera, I believe it is, when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe and Aaron were instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to lead the Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayetzaveim el Bnei Yisrael, and he instructed the Bnei Yisrael, Hashem instructed the Bnei Yisrael, V'el Paro Melch Mitzrayim, and to the king Paro of Mitzrayim, Lahotzias Bnei Yisrael Me'etz Mitzrayim, to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Now Rashi has the obvious question: Vayetzaveim El Moshe V'el Aaron, Vayetzaveim El Bnei Yisrael, and he instructed the Bnei Yisrael to instruct Paro to let the Jews out. That's understandable. Why does he have to instruct the Bnei Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim? They give them a chance, open the gates, they're out of there. And Rashi explains that we're reading the Pasuk incorrectly. Vayitzaveim el Bnei Yisrael doesn't mean instruct to the Bnei Yisrael. Instruct them, Moshe and Aaron, about the Bnei Yisrael. What were the instructions that Hashem is giving Moshe and Aaron about the Bnei Yisrael? When you're leading them out, do it with savlanut, with patience, and do it with calmness. Now imagine. Now think of it for a second, gentlemen. We're talking about a people who have been enslaved for 210 years. And towards the end, as time went on, it became worse and worse. The feeling of wanting to get out of Mitzrayim. You would imagine, open the floodgates, just rush them out, just stand up on top of a mountain and just go, you're free, free. Go, just run. I have to worry about being calm. I have to worry about being patient. So you see the importance that Rashi is telling us, yes, that when it comes to the midah of patience, even under circumstances like this, you never know. You have Altayidinis who are leaving Mitzrayim. You have young children who are leaving Mitzrayim. You have people who are going to trip and fall. If you don't have the midah of patience, Nushayin gives a chashokel, you know, let's get out of here already. No, you see that patience is... Now, we live in a society, of course, which is the antithesis of patience. And simply, it is really what boils down to one word. And some of us remember how it began. The word I'm referring to is instant. You know, there wasn't always instant coffee, for example. You had to take the beans, for instance, thank you. You always didn't have, you know, instant coffee. You had to prepare it with beans, achveis, whatever the process was. Instant coffee, instamatic cameras. Instamatic cameras, remember those? Everything become instant. Touch tone. Do you remember when you had to wait for the rotary phone to come back before you dial the second number? You remember you had to sit there, Now we never... Now imagine doing it in those days, we never thought twice about it. Who thought that you required patience? These days, imagine if a guy would come into your house and say, we're replacing your touchtone phone now with a rotary Michigan cup. You go crazy waiting for that thing for the entire second and a half for the thing to go back. Are you kidding? In between seven numbers? And that was before the three numbers. That was only Taka seven numbers, right? Before the area code. Now you go to area code. So forget it. You know, so I give you another example. Do you remember, gentlemen, the good old days when you went to a Yankee game? In between innings, what did we used to do when the Yankees were taking the field and the other team was going back to the dugout? What did we do until the next innings began? What did you do? You sat there and waited. That's what you did. Oh, you had to use the restroom. You had to go, hey, fine. But other people, the other thousands and thousands of people, what did you do? You sat there and waited. That's what you did. What do you mean? I don't want to wait. Too bad. You don't want to. Don't go to a ball game. Now, forget it. You go to a ball game today, in between there's not 1 second that you're not entertained. Whether it's the mascots, or it's the mascots dancing, or they're throwing up things, or you have that big screen, you know, with that's about a mile big, you know, that big screen is showing you who knows who coined the Mishigasin on there, because God forbid that the people should sit there and just wait. How can you sit there and wait? So the concept of, you know, of patience, and by the way, this is not only in the non-Torah world, this unfortunately has crept, like everything else, has an effect on us. People these days want to become instant Talmud Chacham. You get a guy who goes through high school, 1 or 2, 3 years, through a base measures, post-high school. What? I'm not an Akeb Mismich yet. I can't give a shir yet. What are you talking? Look how many years I've been learning already. So he wants already be called up a rav, and he wants to feel about himself he's a Talmud Chacham. And then, of course, when it comes to midos, tikkun hamidos, you know, some people feel when they're working with their children, working with the Talmidim, you know, you learn Musa with them, and we ourselves are learning Musa, and we're learning about Gaiva. Hey, what's the matter? Yachnas, we are leading us here. We're almost finished with the chapter of Gaiva. By the time we finish, that's it. We snap our fingers, and we're not Bale Gaiva anymore. You know, why? Patience. What is patience? To become a person who's humble takes years and years of working. But if when you live in an instamatic world, and everything is you snap your fingers, and of course these are instant messaging, right, what they have these days. And of course you can't, even on a cell phone with touch tone, you can't push all the buttons you have. What's it called? Speed dial, because what? I'm going to wait to push my button, push my finger so many times before I can reach my friend? Speed dial, push one thing. Now, before you know it, gentlemen, I guarantee it's just a matter of time. You're going to pick up your cell phone and you're just going to think about who you want to call. as you're looking at the phone, it's going to read your mind and it's going to dial it for you. You know? Okay, so the point is that savlanus is a virtue, which is a midah, which is of course extremely important. And a person who has the midah of gaiva, haughtiness, which leads to taiva, and also allows him to develop this this midah of impatience, which is, of course, a tremendous defect. Let's continue. Vizosi gaivas haguf shehitova. Now we're going to learn, gentlemen, about a kind of gaiva, physical gaiva, which is good. Shem ayoma, how could it be that gaiva is good? Shem ayoma adam. Lest a person say, Hoel v'hagaiva hi midah ra kol kach. Since we have just learned until now, these last few pages, how terrible gaiva is, Efrosh mimena b'yoseh, I want to separate myself from this midah of gaiva completely. Ad, to the point, Shelo yochal basar, I'm not going to eat meat. V'lo yishte yayin, who am I to drink wine? V'lo yisa yisha, I'm not worthy of being married, I won't take a woman. V'lo yeshe b'dir anoyeh, and of course, I can't live in a house that looks menschlich. V'lo yilbash malbush noyeh, and I have to make sure, you know, that my clothing don't look too nice, because after all, it may lead to gaiva. Ella hasak v'hatzema hakoshu v'godim kruum l'uchlochim. The only thing I'll put on is, you know, a shirt and a pair of pants that are dirty, that are sully, that are, you know, filthy, the dishes and glasses that I use in my house will be soiled, will be dirty, because after all, come on, who am I to have nice clean glasses? The guy will never take a bath, never take a shower, to the point that he looks visibly more of a mess than anyone else on the street. And he does this all under the pretense that he doesn't want to become a Baal Gaiva, because, you know, after all, God forbid I should do something at all that maybe, perhaps, could lead me to be a Baal Gaiva. So all of what we just mentioned above, the person's going to take on himself. So listen to what Torah HaSadikim says. Three lines from the bottom. Hamalach b'derech zo nikra chote. A person who chooses this path of life is considered a chote. A chote, gentlemen, means a sinner. A sinner. And let's not forget what the real meaning of the word chate is. We know the word chate to be a sin. There's a reason why sin is called a chate. A chate is really a target. In fact, in archery, if you take archery, in Eretz Yisrael, where they speak Hebrew language, of course, Loshon HaKodesh, and if you miss the target as you're shooting your archery, they say, Hecheti et hamatara. He missed the target. He was off on the target. Hecheti, from the word chet. Chet means you were not on target. That's why a chet, a sin, is called a chet, because of a person, we're supposed to be aiming to satisfy Hashem's wants. We're supposed to be aiming at the target of the Torah. And if a person sins, he missed the target. That's why a chet is called a chet. So this person, says the author, a person who goes in this manner of life is considered a chote. Basically, he missed the target. Why? Shareyome benozir. Because when it comes to a person who became a nazir, it says about him in the Torah, v'chiper alov me'ashechota ala nafesh. He has to atone for the sin that he has committed. Amr Chachamim, the Chachamim said, im nazir shelo parashele min ayayin. How bad is a nazir? The only thing a nazir did was that he refrained from drinking wine. Nikra chote. He is called a chote if he has to bring a korban after becoming a nazir, after he finishes the naziris, 30 days or the amount of time that he took on. He has to bring a korban. The only time you bring a korban is because you're atoning for a sin. What's the sin? All he did is refrain from wine. Hamoneya atzmo mikol davar, a person who refrains from other things, from clothing, from clean dishes, from a clean house, from neat and clean, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considering him a chote, a sinner, because after all said and done, the person who became a nazir, of course we're assuming the person became a nazir for a good reason, but he did still separate himself from something basic and something kosher and something permissible like wine. And so he, in Hashem's eyes, is considered a sinner because I allowed you to drink wine, you deprived yourself of wine. Ad kedei kach, to the point that you have to bring a korban. So certainly if a person deprives himself of the other deprivations that we just mentioned, certainly all the more so. Now listen to this second line, gentlemen. It's an amazing thing. Amr Chachamim. The Chachamim said, Lo dayecha mashas for Torah. It's not enough for you what the Torah prohibited. That you have to take upon yourself other prohibitions, and about this and other similar kinds of behaviors. Omar Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech said, gentlemen, listen to this pasuk. Al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be such a big tzadik. V'al tischakam yoser, and don't become so wise, too wise, over wise. Lama tishomeim. Why destroy yourself? It's an amazing thing that David Shlomo HaMelech is saying here. Don't be such a tzaddik. Halavai, we can keep the mitzvahs and the averis of the Torah prohibited. But to come to go overboard and taking upon ourselves other things. Now, we have to be very clear about this. I want to quote the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter. The Ramchal says that abstinence from essentials is sinful, and abstinence from non-essentials is meritorious. Now, a person has to make a personal cheshbon. He has to make a calculation. Watch for him. Never point the finger at someone else, as we always say. But we have to. Each person has to decide what is a necessity for me, and if drinking out of a clean glass and having freshly laundered the linen on the bed, you know, at least every once in a while, you know, is a necessity in your eyes, then depriving yourself of those kinds of necessities because you don't, you're afraid it'll lead to gaiva, that the Ramchal says is sinful. It's a chait. If it's a non-essential and you deprive yourself, you know, you're going around, you're going to buy a car, and you're trying to decide between the Lexus and the Chevrolet, and you know for yourself, maybe not for everyone else, but you know for yourself, you could manage very well with the Chevy. You don't need the Lexus. You know, so it becomes a non-essential. If it's a non-essential, then if a person holds abstinence there, you know, because he doesn't want to be the talk of the town, oh, look who's got a new Lexus, is driving around, you know, with the L in the back, right? So then that is fine. But, you know, let's keep in mind that it's extremely, extremely important that we don't take on more, you know, don't bite off more than you can chew, and don't take upon oneself more than what is necessary. On the other hand, I just want to finish the thought, on the other hand, let's not underestimate our abilities and what our necessities or non-essentials are. Again, only a person himself. I just want to tell you a maisa that happened to me. It's many years ago, I was still in the yeshiva, I was in the kollel, and it was the 50th yahrzeit, the Alta of Slabotka, and our yeshiva Chofetz Chaim is in the direct line of Slabotka. The Mahalach HaMusa, the approach to Musa, is like Slabotka. So it was the 50th yahrzeit, so we had the commemoration in our yeshiva building. And there were many gedolim who came, who spoke, and one of those in attendance was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And of course, he spoke about his memories of the Alta von Slabotka, who he learned under. And as he was leaving, of course, many of the Bnei Yeshiva tried to surround him, ask him questions, an opportunity to speak to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So listen carefully. I went over to him and I had a question. My question was that sometimes when you read the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim's Mishnah Berurah, he tells you the halacha, and then he adds a few words and he says, "Ubal nefesh yachmir." A bal nefesh should be more strict. A bal nefesh is a person who feels that he wants to take upon himself a little bit more than the letter of the law. According to the law, fine, it's mutter. You want to be a bal nefesh yachmir, you should be more strict. Very few times, but there are times that the Chofetz Chaim writes this as in the Mishnah Berurah. So I asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, there I was as a kollel younger man. I said, does this apply to someone like me? When it says bal nefesh, am I supposed to think about myself that I should be considered a bal nefesh? And I should be more machmir. I should take upon myself the more strict view. So Rabbi Yaakov said, yes, yes, you should. A young man in Kolo should be considered a Baal Nefesh, and he should be Machmir, yeah. So I said to him, words that I'll forever regret, I said, but I'm not on the Madrega. I'm not on that level yet. So he looked at me straight in the eyes, and of course, this also I'll never forget, and he said, no. So put yourself on that Madrega. He says, let me tell you a little secret. There are people who go through life saying to themselves at every stage of the game, at every age, it's not for me. I'm not on the Madrega. This is for the rabbis. He said the Rabbonim. This is for the Rosh Hashivas. This is for the Gedolim. Me, who am I? And they are feeding themselves the same spiritual diet when they're 5 years old, when they're 10 years old, when they're 35, when they're 60 years old, the same spiritual diet, because they keep on saying, I'm not on the Madrega, I'm not on the Madrega. So Rabbi Yaakov was very clear in his message here that, you know, on one hand, don't become a machmir, don't become a person who's looking around for every kind of, you know, any stringency you can get your hold on. I mean, you know, we live in a society that is somewhat like that, you know. There are certain people out there don't use your imagination too much, but there are people out there, every kind of chumrah in the world, you know. There are some people you can name, their middle name could become chumrah, you know, Mr. So-and-so chumrah, you know, Schwartz, whatever his name is, because every kind of chumrah, he can. That Rabbi Yaakov was clear, we're not becoming machmirim, but a person at the same time has to understand that as we go through life, we have to develop this feeling that, hey, growth comes with growth. A person has to feel that he is growing and he's bringing himself to the next level. I once heard, also years ago, from, I believe it was Rav Gifter, Zuchon al-Vracha, who said, that imagine, you feed a baby, and a baby, in the beginning weeks and months of their life, you're feeding them formula. They can't eat solid food. Now imagine the child is 5 years old and the mother still giving the kid formula. It's ridiculous. The child will never develop their throat, will never develop the sense of chewing, will never develop the, you know, the essentials necessary that you get from chewing hard foods, solid foods. So the same thing he said, when it comes to Gashmis, when it comes to feeding a baby and regular food, of course it's simple, it's obvious. Nobody's going to feed a 5 year old formula. But some people miss the boat when it comes to ruchnias, that they're feeding themselves the same diet, you know, when they're getting older as they did, you know. Some people will say, yeah, I learned this Pasuk Chumash already. Of course, I learned it back in the grade school. Here I am, 35 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old. I have to learn this Pasuk again. I learned it already 40 years ago. I repeat the same Pasuk. Yeah, but it's a different diet now. Of course, it's the same Torah. The Torah never changes. But a different angle in the Pasuk, a different depth in the Pasuk, a different lesson in the Pasuk. So this is an extremely important concept.